This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Every episode for the rest of 2025 and beyond.
And to infinity and beyond.
Exactly.
What do you think it will be? Like, how much time do you spend thinking about what your relationship with popcorn culture might be like in the year like 2050?
2050? Wow. I mean, so that would be 25 years from now.
Would you be, hold on.
Yeah. I'd be like over 60.
Over 60?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. I mean, but it's like the truth of the matter for me, at least, was when Super Carlin Brothers first took off back like in like 2015.
Yeah.
Really? Because that was the year you got married. You were still working at the Berglund Center.
Yeah.
It was the year you ultimately ended up going full time, all that type of stuff. But like, truly, honestly, completely in my head, I was 100% sure that this was like, it was like, go, like, I didn't, like, I wasn't even quick to like leave my day job because I was like, go and see how long you can ride the wave. Maybe you get a couple of years out of it. Mm-hmm. It'll be an interesting story to tell, you know, your kids one day.
Right.
Like, we used to do this YouTube thing. It was kind of popular, like, you know, like whatever. And so more than anything, though, it was almost like, don't let go of your career because like you're going to need that as soon as this all goes away, which, I mean, I think that there's still probably, it's ebbing, but I still think there's a piece of me that's sort of like, should I go like update my resume just in case, you know, like
right.
how often should one be doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, like just go and be like, I'm not very good. Excel, Google Sheets. I'm okay.
That's
with
what you just put in there. Ben Carlin resume. It's just Excel, Google Sheets, ?
That's it. That's it.
Hire me?
Hire me.
Am I doing it right?
I mean, literally, there's like a piece of me at this point in time that would literally have to be like, I don't know how to describe my skills. I don't know what to say. I don't know what they are. Like, if you give me the opportunity to be enthusiastic about your product, then I can probably find a way to like figure something out.
I figured out.
That's what I've got going for me. Does that count? Also, I kind of know Google Sheets.
Kind of.
I mean, if you get too advanced, then I'm super lost.
You mean to like create a bunch of crazy formulas or something? Like, whoa, pump the brakes.
However, I know how to format cells.
There you go.
And make them different sizes.
So
there's just a little slider right at the top. It's a little pro tip for you guys. You just go right. You just scoot it over as far as you need.
There you go. I'll tell you what. You double click right with the slider. It'll do it for you.
But then, I mean, don't even get me started on like situations where wrap text is important. I mean, golly jeepers.
Jeepy gollers.
No, but the point I'm really trying to make here is that back in the day, if you had asked me in like 2015, it would have been like, do you think you'll still be doing this in 2020? And it'd be like, probably not. Like, I don't think so.
And yet here we are, Ben.
And yet here we are.
A decade later.
And it's like, so now I do think that my mind is like starting to do some wonderings of like, you know, what does it look like out there on ye old horizon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you look forward, because what we're about to do is look back at the year 2025.
As the year 2025.
But before we do so, it's sort of like, and I don't want to look into 2026 yet, because that's too close. Like, you know, you're going to run a triathlon. I'll probably get another new tattoo. We're going to go on tour twice. Like, you guys, you know the things. Like,
sure.
Those beats will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what do you think about the year 2050?
The 2050. I know. Like, is it still like, is YouTube still a thing? Is like short form content a thing? Do we even carry phones anymore?
Ooh.
You know?
Ooh.
Like, 2050 is so far away. It is so difficult to imagine, especially at the rate in which technology has already advanced in our lives.
Yes.
Like, right now, it feels like we are still in some ways in like AI infancy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? We definitely are.
Like, yes. I mean, yes, we are. But it's crazy to see how far it's come in like a year or two.
Right.
You know, like there's still like, I mean, there's so much, there's like a lot of pushback in certain areas, like creative areas and stuff.
Right.
But there's also no doubt that it is like, not going anywhere, you know. I doubt someone's going to be like, you know what? We're just shutting it down. That's it.
I mean, yeah. And to me, the biggest question is like, because you know, like I'm curious about it from like a large scale business perspective with artificial intelligence in particular, just because there, it feels like the gap that I would be most worried about is like, you know, let's say you've got your retirement plan, your 401k, your Roth IRA, like whatever the thing that you use to, you know, stash away for future retirement type stuff, whether you just buy stocks on your own or whatever. It's like, in the short game, if you can imagine a world where a major corporation is able to go through and use artificial intelligence to offset a lot of like costs that used to be associated with paying humans to do the work, then from that company's perspective, their bottom line just got like a lot healthier, assuming nothing else goes wrong, because it's like, well, we're just able to eliminate a huge expense, which is manpower.
Right.
But then on the flip side is that if people aren't paid to do work, then who is available to buy your product? And so like, as artificial intelligence goes through and it's not just like making funny pictures or coming up with clever, you know, like whatever
resumes for you,
resumes, Google Sheets, question mark. Yeah. Like it like begs the question of like, what societal shift will need to take place in order to account for what could be a growing chasm? Businesses needing less human people to do jobs, but that makes them more profitable. But then where do those profits go if nobody is employed such as to be able to go and purchase the products?
Right. Do we have to like create new kinds of jobs that just people can do?
Right. Yeah. Like yes. And because what I just described is called the consumer paradox. Like that's a known thing, but you're exactly right. Like it's going to be fascinating because surely there are aspects of everyday life where AI won't be the answer.
Right.
Like it can't be. And it'll be interesting because eventually this will be common knowledge. Like in 2050, would we have grandkids in 2050? Is that even possible? I'm trying to do math.
It's possible.
25 years from now.
Yeah.
So it's at least possible. But like it could be the kind of thing where those kids, our kids' kids, would grow up knowing simply like, you know, ballet is something that AI cannot do. So maybe there's a huge ballet.
It's like, who cares if it can do it?
That's a better way to phrase it. Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Like it's like, you know, but that would be the fascinating world to live in, where it's like, if the offset of everyday jobs, let's just think like, you know, because agricultural jobs back in the day, people used to work on farmland, were eventually replaced by factory workers when all of a sudden farming equipment allowed a lot of automation in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So then what people needed to go is work at the cannery that canned the peaches that maybe they once picked by hand.
Right.
You know, and so like that's the natural progression. So then the other question here would almost be like, let's just say there's administrative jobs or whatever, where it's like, you know, the human person who can collect this information and translate translate it to these people who work beneath them and blah, blah, blah. And that enacts a job that is beneficial to these people who need that industry or whatever. Like, if all of that can just be automated, then like what can't be automated really ends up being the ultimate question. Because if it's something like musical performances, athletics, you know, like whatever, you know, like spectacle, then it could be the case that like even what we imagine today as like the NFL, you know, being this like fun, big soap opera of a season. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a possibility we haven't even seen the outside edge of what professional sports could actually look like, because it's the only thing, like it's like where everything goes. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, no, it doesn't.
Well,
make sense.
I just don't make like rephrase it. I don't understand.
Okay, sorry. So, like, if we're not doing like administrative duties, and what we discover is that the main thing that humans can do that AI can't do is like almost like performance.
I see.
Then maybe what that ends up being is, whether it's athletics or arts or whatever, is just everyone puts all of their energy into those things.
Okay. I see what you mean. This would be a completely wild take, but imagine like, you know, you get to the point where like the AI or the machines or whatever can just like, they're just taking care of basically everything.
Right. So, like, so the WALL-E model a little bit.
More or less, except like is there a situation where you could like, I doubt it could ever happen, just because like greed exists, but like live in a world where like the concept of money just sort of goes away,
where
you know, it's just sort of like you don't need money to buy things or services, because literally everything is just provided for.
Right. Yes. Like, so what I forget where it comes from, but it's basically the phrase that money is nothing more than the physical representation of effort. So the
right,
you know, the basic idea there is that if you are a nuclear physicist and it took you, you know, your normal K-12 education plus an undergrad degree plus 3 PhDs in order to be who you are, then your effort that you apply towards your nuclear physics job is very expensive, because it's not just what you did in the hour that you worked on a job for somebody. It is all of the education that you spent 35 years of your life amassing knowledge so that you're even capable of performing the job inside of that hour.
Yeah.
That makes it remarkably valuable. On the flip side, you could take any typical job that you could usually be trained to complete within a couple of days. And you can easily see the disparity between those two particular routes.
Right.
But then if all of a sudden, you know, like nuclear physics is just solved by the machines, you know,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, then there's no one's effort, no one's 35 years of effort that we need to account for.
Right.
Plus the computer can store what would be a brilliant mind within a field's knowledge, and the machine, while the technology may age, all of the data remains.
Do you imagine that at some point machines or the AI will make some sort of like scientific breakthrough
that we have not made on our own?
Right. Like it will discover something.
I think that there is a decent possibility that we will witness this kind of thing happen. What all I can imagine is it'll take like another like 10 to 15 years, and then a lot of it will happen quickly, and then a lot of it won't happen for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I tend to think about artificial intelligence is that like it cannot run until the internet has already walked. Like, you know, it's like you need the gross aggregation of data and information that can fuel artificial intelligence.
Right.
But people have had to spend, you know, hundreds of millions of hours entering information into the internet ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
so that the artificial intelligence can use all that information to formulate its thoughts.
Right.
And that's part of like what is ultimately feeding into the machine. But all I can imagine is that no human brain is capable of holding all of the information that everybody has all the time inside of one head that can reach conclusions on its own.
Okay.
If that, does that make sense, or do I need to explain that better?
That like a human couldn't hold all the information that a computer could.
Right. So sometimes I've given this example before where it's like, if you were to take any three people off the street, doesn't matter what their jobs are, right, how smart they are, merge their brains together, and you have three human brains and three sets of life circumstances that can all work together in like a complete system, mm-hmm, where it's like, now this person knows the whole perspective of this person and their own all at once, and all of the little pieces of smart, intelligent data that they've picked up in their life. And when you can weave it all together into one single tapestry of knowledge, that person becomes like a super genius.
But you don't think they could draw conclusions?
No, they can draw conclusions.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that what AI is capable of doing is taking all of that input from every person who's ever put anything on the internet ever and cross-tabulate it into potential outcomes.
Right.
So like, it's probably a rather rare circumstance for somebody who is, you know, a Supreme Court justice and like a neurosurgeon and a railroad worker to take those three fields of knowledge and fold them into one singular perspective.
Sure.
And think about how much smarter you'd be if you could do that.
Well, yeah.
But that's what AI could be.
I guess what threw me off is when you said something couldn't draw conclusions because they had too much information.
I don't think that any one human being can have the collective information of all of humanity inside of their head at once and then draw conclusions from that.
Well, if they had it all in there, they could draw conclusions.
But they can't. But there's no way to take all of human knowledge and put it inside of one human being.
Right.
But we can put it into server farms.
Right.
I guess. And all of that server farm information is then, you know, available.
Right.
And as long as the computing power is powerful enough, it can look for trends and similarities and be like, oh wow, I didn't realize that these sunflower seeds that we were selling in the 1960s were grown in this soil, which had this particular toxin in it. So anybody who lived in this area of Pennsylvania at this point in time and ate these sunflower seeds was impacted by this thing.
Sure.
But theoretically, there's somebody who did soil samples in that area of Pennsylvania, this person who studied sunflower seeds as a botanist, and this person who had this health condition. And I think that at least you might be able to put that information together, even if no one involved in that situation would be able to see all of it.
Right. And it could just be like, it's probably that.
It's probably that.
Right.
Yes. It's this problem right here.
Right.
Yeah. Like, because we have a police report of an oil tank that spilled in that area that dumped into the sunflower field, and that led to the rest of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah. Well, I guess I have no idea yet what the technology will look like in 2050, I suppose.
Right.
If people will still be listening to podcasts, will we have moved on to some? That's the thing. It's like when you were growing up, like, you know, like we had radio and we had TV, and it's like we still have, people still listen to stuff, people still watch stuff, but it's in vastly different ways.
Correct. Yeah.
It's like I somehow doubt, it's like I don't think people wanting to be entertained is going anywhere.
No, you know? No. Right. Right. Yes.
So it's like, will we still be contributing to that in some way in 25 years, whether even if it doesn't look like this or not? I don't know. Or will we have, you know, successfully gotten out of the game or something or whatever by then?
Like we exit the simulation.
Like we've
exited the simulation.
No. Like we've just like managed to retire.
Oh, you and I.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I thought you meant all of humanity got out of the game.
No, I meant you and I.
Okay. I went to a Matrix mind.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly possible. Or it's possible this leapfrogs us into some other thing that we just have not discovered yet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. People have only ever thought of AI. Who know what's beyond AI, you know?
Oh gosh. I know. Right. Yeah. Like it feels like we're so just on the beginning edge of whatever that will be, that it's impossible to think what might be after it.
What would be funny is if we're not on the edge. It's just like, yeah, AI developed fast. It like burned hot and then it got as hot as it could. You know?
Right.
Like it got to like pretty much where we are now. And it's like, that's pretty much what it can do. We're here.
That would also be interesting, is that like, yes, like we're all mapping it as if the current trajectory will keep at the current trajectory for like a long time to come.
Right.
But you're right. Like, wouldn't that be very interesting if they like call it like the artificial plateau, you know?
Right.
Is like an invisible ceiling where it's like AI can't be smarter than this, because maybe it's the reverse of what I just said. It can have all the information, but it has no human experiences.
Right.
And without those human experiences, it can't.
Well, it's just like it can get all the information, right, that's available to it. And it can get it pretty instantly.
Right.
Right. But it's like, now it's got it. And now what? You know?
Now what?
What if it's just like, yeah, 20, it's like, yeah, AI, it's still pretty much doing what it does. You know, it's AI. We get it.
Right. Right.
Right. It's like a little bit better. It's like the difference between like, you know, the Apple, you know, the iPhone 11 and the iPhone 17. It's like kind of a better camera, but you know, pretty much the same thing.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
It scrolls social media sites just as well.
Exactly. Right. Like we're more adept at using it. We found more creative ways to use it, but it's like, yeah, it does what it does.
It does what it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's where the other version of it is. Okay. So like I said, got out of the game or whatever, but then there's like the Ready Player One scenario.
No, that'd be so depressing.
Oh, well, I mean, certainly, like, especially as Ready Player One depicts it,
yeah,
where it seems like people have like largely just dissolved into living in trailers and they just go live in the digital frontier all the time. But as I said, scrolling, and because like that's what many people do as like a like significant form of daily entertainment.
I know.
You know, so like, what's a way to be more immersed in your technology than to physically go enter the space? Right.
Do we want to be more immersed?
Well, I mean, that also probably depends. I think that's where it's like, you could say Ready Player One and look at it as if like the world has gotten so bad that nobody wants to be out in the world. They want to go to the digital frontier. But the alternate option there could be like food is, it's like you said before, it's like food, you can have any food you want. If you want your Pizza Hut personal pan pizza, it's like you type it into your little Willy Wonka microwave oven thing and it automatically, you know,
right. It de-atomizes it and re-atomizes it.
Exactly. And it's like, and it was made by machines and robots, and the cheese that's on it is made from, you know, cows that are, you know, ranched by,
right,
robots,
right,
like,
exactly,
you know, like it's just or it's all synthetic, but it's like we're able to perfectly accurately re-depict it. The point I'm trying to make is that, like, you know, there are physical limitations of the physical world, and the only way past those is entering a digital frontier,
right?
You know, but like, assume everything else is just kind of like sunshine and rainbows. So some people are just like, yeah, I'm gonna go camp in the woods and chop my wood and
camp in the woods.
Yeah, look at the northern lights and that type of thing. And somebody else is like, well, I'm gonna go plug in and play Death Race with my pals.
Yeah. I don't know. That could be I can imagine too though, like that when you imagine like the Ready Player One virtual reality of the world, that when people think of it, they still think of it like a video game. But like, imagine you're sitting in it and it is effectively exactly like what you're experiencing right here. You know, like imagine like what we're sitting in is already VR, you know, like it's that crisp, that realistic, that tactile, you know? And then it's like, because then you get really, really blurry lines about like, well, what's even the difference? You know?
I mean, this is exactly inside of the movie, The Matrix, there is like a kind of antagonist character named Cypher. Yeah. And so if you've never seen The Matrix before, effectively what's happening is that people living in The Matrix are living inside of like a digital realm, but the digital realm, as far as humanity requires it, looks exactly like life as we know it.
Right.
And if you get unplugged, then you kind of go into this dark, storm
you
cloud.
You wake up in like the real world.
The real world. And everything is dark and gray and miserable and lousy. And the real life humans are able to plug into the Matrix and go interact with people inside of the Matrix. But where they really live is in the air quotes real world.
Right.
And Cypher is someone who has been unplugged and basically turns on everybody who is existing in the real world.
Right.
Because as far as he's concerned, he's like, they show him at like a steakhouse and he's eating this really gorgeous looking, you know, expensive steak while he's talking to Agent Smith, who for all intents and purposes is a robot.
Yeah.
And he's like, the thing is, my brain doesn't know this isn't real.
It's like, I know it's not. I know it's not. But when I put it in my mouth, it tastes good. It smells good. It's delicious.
Right. So it's like, I don't care that the Matrix isn't real, because when I go out there, it's pretty bad. And we're eating this like nutritionally congealed slop.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's nothing. It's not food.
Right.
And so like, you know, what he's saying is like, I'll just take the Matrix, you know, like, who cares?
Right. It's like, it's not worth fighting for. This is just better.
Right.
Right.
And obviously he's
wrong.
He's wrong. He's an antagonist for a reason.
But there's like a world where it's like, if you could just optionally enter the Matrix at will, though, as opposed to being enslaved inside of it by the machines, it suddenly seems like more like appealing, you know?
I mean, it seems more appealing than being enslaved.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that goes.
Yeah.
That goes places.
Right.
I can track that logic. But yeah, then there's just sort of like, yeah, what is real life? What isn't real life? And, you know, I think like, even like with the Oasis, it's like, that's Ready Player One. It's like, as good as the Oasis is, you can't eat in the Oasis. You can't use the restroom in the Oasis. Like,
right.
You know, well, I guess you could, but you like only to the dismay of your physical self.
Exactly. Yeah. You still got to get up.
Right. Right. So yeah, that's a weird potentialism, but that feels further off.
Yeah.
I don't think that people would clamor for that as quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I guess we'll just have to, the crazy thing is we'll be here as it all unfolds.
We will be here, you know, as it all unfolds.
We, the millennials, have seen so many changes.
That's right. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, I have had more business ideas than I care to count. Like in third grade, I learned to fold those like paper fortune teller things that I thought I could just, you know, huck to my classmates. Then there's the corkscrew hot dog concept out there somewhere. A food truck, aquarium maintenance. I actually did that one. YouTube, coffee, and maybe even someday 27 Butts Production Studio Incorporated. The point is that if you're even 10% like me, you have a business idea that has been nagging at you somewhere deep within, and 2026 could be your year. Time to finally rent a gorgeous quarry adjacent single bathroom, that's important, mansion to film the latest holiday calamity classic, 27 Butts. But then there's the age old question of where to sell your product. They used to say location, 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 but I'd argue Shopify, 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 because Shopify is what we use for our own merch and future toilet themed film studio store, and it's amazing how much insight Shopify truly offers, what products are popular, and just as importantly, which ones aren't. Plus, as you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. So in 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. That's shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Well, speaking of changes, would you like to do a bit of a year in review?
Yeah, sure.
Because yes. we had honestly, while we were preparing to come in and film just now, you and I were having this exchange where we're kind of like scrolling through each of the months in our phones, looking at like high points, low points, whatever, you know, from each month
right.
of the year. And the thing that seemed to split our brains clean in half was the realization that there is this pin store in Orlando, Florida, near Disney.
GoPin Pro HQ.
GoPin Pro HQ.
Yep.
Nailed it.
There you go.
and it's this thing that, like, in my mind, we've known about for years.
Right.
And, like, we've gone and we've done, like, a little collab with, like, the sisters who own the business. Yep. And it was, like, this really cool, fun thing. And as we were scrolling through our photos, we discovered that we went for the first time this year.
This year.
Which means we've only known about it for 10 months.
Right. I was like, it was, like, breaking my mind. I'm like, wait, no. That was in February? Because... And I'm like, no, wait, because we went back, right? So the first time we went there, we did the collab and we had the team with us, and that's what these pictures are from. But that wasn't this year. Was it this year?
How could it be?
No, because we went on Southeast. We went on the Southeast, but that was this year.
Right, yes.
And I'm like, but, like, why does it feel like I have known about the store and like known Sydney and Julia for like years.
I know. You know? Yeah.
And it's like, we've met them twice. That's it.
That's it. That is it. That is the entirety of the experience. But yeah, like to hear us talk about the store, like if people were traveling to Disney, we would be like, oh my God, you have to go and check this place out. We love it there. As if like we always go. And it's just wholly incorrect.
It's not. Yeah.
In fact, the very Disney trip that we went on, like with our family this year, which is another one of those things, like where we stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
Like with the safari view and the giraffes and zebras and stuff outside your window. Also this year.
Well, of course that was this year, because that's the trip where someone at Epcot was like, you got to go to GoPin Pro. That's this like crazy pin store here in Orlando. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we were right back in Orlando like 2 weeks later and it was like, let's go to the pin store.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Because we were back on tour.
Yes. But even as I was thinking, I was like, no, but Tyler met us there the one time. And I was like, That was that time.
He literally, we were at the pin store walking around doing the collab. Tyler flew into Orlando, got in his Uber, rolled up at the store where our tour van was parked. He had his luggage with him, threw it in the back of the tour van, and then came inside for the remainder of like the visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what is happening?
What is happening? So that was this year that we went to the pin store for the first time.
Yeah.
Which was wild.
Broadened
our horizons about all things pins, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because then we went back. We went back later in the year on our third Orlando trip of the year.
When we went for Epic Universe.
Yes, when we went for Epic Universe. And when did we have time to go? I don't even remember.
I'm pretty sure it was the last day. We did not have like park tickets, or maybe we had like an early flight. And it was like, we can go bring our luggage with us, go visit, and then go from there to the airport and fly home. So yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But then, yeah, so on top of that, though, so we had our Disney trip, our Southwest tour, where we went to Universal with the team.
Southwest tour coming up.
You're right. I'm so sorry. Southeast tour, where we were in Florida. We did three shows. And we went to Universal on that trip. And then we went again for Epic Universe. And yeah.
So, free trips to Florida.
Right. And then we went to Tokyo.
Yes.
For Star Wars celebrations.
This was an insanely busy year.
It was an insanely busy year. And that was the thing. Like, as I was going through to write it down, I was like, okay, we had, the Southeast tour, the Midwest tour. We had Jay's Triathlon. I got two different tattoos. We did Star Wars Celebration in Tokyo. You went to Anaheim, California for Pokemon Worlds. We did Epic Universe to see the new park.
Yep.
We went to Disney. You went on a beach trip. I went on a beach trip. I went to the Dominican Republic. We went to Smith Mountain Lake twice. We bought a dock. Like, we went camping. Yeah, like this year, this was like a big thing for me. It was like, I want to go camping this year. And I feel like I went camping a lot. I went three times total, but it's probably because those were the only three weekends I had left when we weren't doing the rest of this other stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, I'm just looking at it right now and I'm like, wow, we really hit it hard this year.
We did. And yet, this is the thing I think we were maybe talking about in last week's episode. I can't honestly remember when this came up, but it's this sense of like you're going so hard that like, if I have like a week, like a single weekend where I'm just like at home doing laundry, you know, cleaning the house, hanging out with Addison, like whatever, I'm like, what am I even doing with my life?
Right.
You know, because it's like every other weekend, I feel like we were so jam packed.
Yeah.
That then if you're like doing nothing, it's like, what's going on?
What's going on?
Like something seems off.
I know. Are you doing something jam packed this weekend?
What is this weekend?
Well, yeah. As people are listening to this, it shall be the week. This will be the week after Christmas.
Oh, okay. So yes, but right now for us, it's the weekend before Christmas.
Right. We're recording this before Christmas has happened.
Right.
As you're listening to this, we are recording on December 16th.
Okay. Yes. So this upcoming Saturday evening, we do this thing with my brother and sister-in-law with Alice. The four of us will do a cocktail competition.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Yes. And so last year, goodness, I mean, my sister-in-law Sammy went all out and she made like Corona Ritas, and she had like a giant tray full of like seashells and sand and like this, you know, like Christmas lights and a light up Santa and music playing. I mean, the whole thing was just like so over the top.
Nice.
So Sammy pretty handily won last year's comp.
Okay.
I made a dessert that was almost thicker than pudding.
Wow.
I say dessert. It was supposed to be a beverage, but it was too thick.
It was too thick.
Frankly. So this year, what I'm trying to do is make a creme brulee cocktail.
Okay.
So I've got a torch. So the idea is to have this like creme brulee flavor going on in there. I'm going to put the sugar on top, get like a nice, like, you know, caramelized
right.
surface. Mm-hmm. And then I'm making like a wreath out of like homemade spun sugar.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be like my display.
So you've already begun, like, have you done like mock versions of it?
I was literally running some reps last night.
Wow.
I was burning sugar and water and all sorts of stuff.
Man, yeah. It sounds great.
I hope so. If it is good, maybe I'll bring it to Christmas Day.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about that.
Me too. You're the first person I got to tell about it.
Oh,
it's a giant secret. Me and Alice are like we're like
even from Alice.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
What are you doing in there, Ben? Nothing.
Nothing.
Stay in that room.
Go away.
You're not allowed in the kitchen, Alice.
Yeah. Exactly. So I've been hard at it, but I would say that last night, what I literally made was like the most comically congealed mess of like rock solid glued like my spatula to the bottom of the pan
cooking related problem.
So I have a lot of work to do between and Saturday if I have any hope of getting this thing off the ground.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck to you there.
Thank you.
I am like thinking I'm, you know, maybe going to go buy like one of those mason jars filled with like cocktail things that you like let your bourbon soak in for a few days.
Oh, that would be your cocktail?
No, just because we'll be hosting Beth's family for like a Christmas gathering actually on the 27th.
Oh.
And I was like, last year I had one of these situations and it was like a big hit. And I was like, maybe I'll just do that again.
There you go.
You know. But now I feel like maybe I should make my own jar, you know, at the very least.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, you could go pick up. I mean, honestly, I could send Addison to help you. She loves picking up like acorns and leaves and stuff. Sticks.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
You could get Jay.
People are going to be like, what's that taste in here? And I'm like, that's going to be the acorn and the dirt.
Also, you might notice a McDonald's straw.
You might.
Addison thought that was essential. Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's a little microplastic.
A little good in there. You know, it's unavoidable anyway. So.
Precisely. You know, so just soak it in. It'll be a treat.
Do you take steps to avoid microplastics in any capacity?
It's an interesting question. I don't find myself like terribly exposed to them.
Or so you think.
Well, fair. I mean, I don't know like the most obvious way that I would, where do most people consume their microplastics?
I don't know, but
vitamins, supplements. Like, yeah. You get it? Like as if you're like, you know, like,
yeah, like you're trying to take them. Yeah.
That's not what people do.
I think like anything that comes in basically a plastic bag at all, like if you're getting cereal, it's probably got, you know, that like all like processed foods and stuff have it. Or if you're microwaving, like we get like corn dogs from you know, like frozen corn dogs.
Okay.
For the kids sometimes. And, you know, when you get them out of the box, it'll say like, you know, just open one end of the package, stick it in the microwave and microwave for 55 seconds or whatever.
Okay.
Right. But that's like a plastic wrapper. And so if like what I will do is I will take it out of the plastic because microwaving stuff in plastic is like one of the big offenders.
Oh.
So I will take it out, wrap it in a paper towel instead, and then go.
Look at you go.
There we go. So you're welcome, kids.
Kids, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You get to the year 2050 will be what it is because of my paper towel wrapped corn dogs.
Exactly, exactly.
Because hot
dogs. It's too late for me, sons.
Hot dogs are notoriously not known for their.
I know, yes. On the flip side, you're also eating corn dogs. So win some, lose some.
You win some, you lose some.
But at least you're eating corn dogs with less microplastics, right?
Less than there could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that. I guess, I don't know. Like if you have like a plastic water bottle versus like a glass water bottle or a metal water bottle. I don't know. That might make a difference.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I mean,
stuff like that.
Like at the office, I only drink out of one container. It's my like SodaStream bottle, which I guess is made of plastic.
There you
go.
So
I don't know if I'm just like, you know, how big of an offender that is, or maybe,
I know.
Maybe they made it out of good plastic and it's not a problem.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now I'm afraid to know.
Yeah. Right. Like it's one of those things. It's like, I can't like Beth started telling me about it and I'd be like, whatever. Like I've lived my whole life, not even caring, you know?
Sure.
Here I am. I'm fine.
Here I am. You know.
But then now I'm like, well, like, I guess it doesn't like hurt to take, you know, to put a paper towel on instead, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah. It's the kind of thing where it's like maybe like when you first hear it, you might think it's like over the top or something. But then in time, you're sort of like, it's really not setting me back that much to just make a small modification here. And if it makes a difference, good. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't.
This was my exact relationship with like hand sanitizer forever.
Oh, okay.
Because like when I started dating Beth, she, even in high school, was just like a, like, you know, way ahead of her time, hand sanitizer with her at all times.
I remember these. Know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would be, there used to be this like hands, I think I made a video about this in year one where it was like the hand sanitizer, like conundrum or whatever.
Okay.
Where it would be like, it here
kills 99.9% of the germs. Well,
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Where like I didn't, you know, always have hand sanitizer or anything with me. Like if I just went to, you know, go eat food, I would just start eating it, you know,
sure,
no problem, right, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Whereas then I'd be like out on a date with Beth and she would get the hand sanitizer out and she would use it and then she would just like put it away. And I would be like, on the one hand, like it doesn't bother me because I don't have it myself and I wouldn't have used it anyway.
Sure.
But like now you've gotten it out and you clearly think it's important enough for yourself to use it so as to not get sick, but you didn't offer me any. So like, do you not think it's important for me to use it?
Right. Like, you're just out here like letting me like fight my own battles.
Right, right. You think it's important to get out, but not important enough to protect me. Just like, but you don't, you think it's silly that I get it out. And it's like, well, it's not hurting anything though.
What? You know, I don't think you
need it, but we've got it.
Yes. The one thing I will say, so I'm with you. I'm full. If hand sanitizer is present, I pretty much will use it every single time. You know, just like if it's like on the counter at the brewery, which it sometimes is. The one thing I will say is that one of the big things that seemed to happen during the pandemic was I think like a lot of like alcohol distillers realized that they could like change like one small step. And so there ended up being like a lot of hand sanitizer out there that smelled very distinctly like tequila.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
Like, yeah. And so I think it's like, I actually quite like tequila, but I feel like there is a different smell for hand sanitizer tequila smell. And that is almost like one of those things where it's like, it occurs to me how much of an emotional reaction I was having inside of the year 2020, because it like rustles up bad feelings.
I see.
And I'm like, I don't like the tequila smell anymore. Even though I like tequila, like anybody who knows me knows that I like tequila.
The best hand sanitizer smell is just standard hand sanitizer that smells like vaguely of cantaloupe, I think.
Oh, vaguely of cantaloupe.
Vaguely of cantaloupe.
I don't even know that I would like be able to place my vague cantaloupe.
You know the smell.
I do know
because
the smell.
It's the most, it's like just basic germ X plain.
It smells like cantaloupe.
It's cantaloupe. Right.
Like, for real.
Yes.
Like, okay. Like, this is a thing. This is not like a Jay-ism.
Like, I don't think, like, they're not, I don't think they say it smells like cantaloupe
but it
on
does.
It. And they're not like trying to, but that is what it smells like.
Oh.
Right. And once you know, now you know.
Now I know.
Now, I agree with you, though. During COVID, there were any array of hand sanitizers where people would, like, if you got the, I don't know if this is true at your place, but I remember we went to Home Depot one time and they just had like a giant, like gallon size thing, like at the exit.
Right.
You know, and you're like, oh yeah, sure. Of course. I'll get some.
Absolutely.
And I remember being like, that was a huge mistake. I was better off. The headache induced from the smell that I cannot get off my hands now
right.
is, I don't know what was in there. That was the worst hand sanitizer I've ever used.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Let me hit you with this one then.
Lay it on me.
I don't want to like throw shade or anything.
All right.
But I was recently just scrolling through the TikToks or whatever, or the Instagrams, and I came across a random clip from a Dude Perfect podcast.
Okay.
Okay. And it was the main guy, Tyler.
Yep.
Tyler Tony. And sorry. I don't even have to apologize because he had no shame about this. He was saying how he hasn't bought soap in he can't remember how long. Like, and they were like, wait, why don't you buy it? And he's like, because he believes it is like a complete scam that like you don't need soap to wash yourself.
Like he believes that Big Soap is like has created a ploy where we are all buying this like mild sudsy lubricant material that is designed specifically for nothing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They have like gotten you to buy in on you need this to get clean when all you need is water is basically his take on it.
Okay. That feels like that feels like a reach.
It does. I'm like sitting here doing it and I'm like, that's absolutely crazy. And yet then you have him sitting there and he's like, clearly he's been doing this for years.
Right.
And you're starting to wonder, you're like, well, but he actually does do it. You know,
what if he's just trolling everybody?
I know. That's what I'm like. I don't know if that, I didn't see the whole podcast or anything. And I'm like, is this a joke? Is this like rage bait, you know?
Right, yeah,
like,
exactly,
that's kind of what
yeah.
it feels like. I'm like, there's no way. And then they're like, what about like after you use the bathroom, like do you wash your hands? He's like I don't wash my hands after the bathroom.
Oh,
like,
my God,
are you kidding?
Like I don't feel comfortable. Like I just don't feel comfortable with my own skin, you know? I'm just sort of like, I gotta fix this,
right?
I mean, like, I don't know, like the only thing I could think of was like, I remember during the pandemic it occurred to me to like specifically specify that what the hand soap that I wanted at all of my sinks in my house was antibacterial soap, which I guess is like a distinction that like compared to basic like soft soap or whatever brand is that has like the little like fish aquarium scene in
it. That one, we don't know that one.
You've seen the soap.
Soft soap, that is the brand, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's soft. That's how you know that's their soap.
So you got it.
It's their slogan.
But have you come across this opinion before that soap is a scam?
No, I have not.
I'm not either.
I mean, the absolute closest I would even come to something like this is I know that I've told this story before, but I went to a canoe camp situation when I was going through like my age 14, 15 year. I was just starting to like break out and have like acne and stuff on my face.
Yeah.
And I remember being like very concerned because I had like a very strict, you know, using like the clean and clear whatever soap at night to wash my face.
And the Neutrogena.
Yeah. So it's like I was using these products like every night. I was very diligent about like washing my face before going to bed, especially because we were also running, I believe, at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, running in the summer means a lot of sweat and, you know, like all that leads to more breakouts. So I was like, okay, yeah, like I'll wash my face really aggressively every night. And I would constantly have breakouts. And so I was really worried about going on my canoe trip because I was like, I'm going to break out even worse because I'm not going to be showering or washing my face. And then I came home and I had like a perfectly clear face.
Right.
And I was like, well, that was weird.
That's weird. Right.
So like on some level, part of me thinks that like the, like, are we washing off like too much, like of the good oils, like natural oils on our face or whatever that we're supposed to have? I don't know. I mean, like I still wash my face. I still use full everything.
Like, I mean, I don't use like, I don't have like a face cleaner.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so you, like, do you just use like nothing or like soap or?
I guess I don't really wash my face.
Okay.
If I'm being like, as I think about it, I'm like, of course I clean my face. But like, I'm in the shower and like I shampoo my hair every day, and then I like wash my body every day, but I guess I don't ever like scrub my face with like the washcloth or anything.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so who knows? I mean, because you also you are quite a young looking individual.
Well, here I am.
So here I am.
Yeah. Well, you don't have like bad skin though.
No.
But I guess you also wash every day.
I do. Yeah. But people also tend to think I'm older than you.
That's true.
So
you have a more robust beard.
Made with some gray.
And the gray.
Yeah. That's probably less face washing and more stress and generalized anxiety disorder.
Sure, sure, sure. Have you tried embracing your inner child?
Well, maybe should do more of it.
Maybe.
What does it look like to embrace your inner child? What does that mean to you?
It just means like just enjoy the things that you enjoy and just like live in a way that lets you like try and have fun as much as possible.
Okay.
But not like in a, like, you know, rage party hard kind of way.
Yeah.
Just like embrace your like passions kind of way, in the way that like a child would, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. I'll work on it.
Okay.
Big 2026 goals.
There you go. Good luck.
Thanks. So what else we got?
What else have we got for the year 2025?
Yeah, or beyond.
Or beyond.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
I mean, let's see. I guess we were going to, I don't know. I thought we would spend more time on the year in review portion of it. Was there any, or I mean, I guess you didn't want to look at 2026 per se.
We can look at 2026.
Okay.
You got goals?
I mean, I don't know if I have like super big specific goals. Like I want to do another triathlon,
okay.
I suppose.
Yep.
Maybe more than one. So it's not like, yeah, this is like my annual like thing I do, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be so embarrassing for you.
What?
Like to do a triathlon once every May. Like, what would people say?
I know, man. What would people say?
For clarity, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Okay. Well, good to know. Let's see. I think like professionally, I would love to focus on like more like short form content, I suppose.
Ooh.
As like a channel.
Okay.
You know.
So like a million followers on TikTok.
Yeah. Like a million followers.
Okay. Go follow us today.
Yeah. Go follow. Check us out on TikTok and Instagram. That this will be what tips it right here.
That's it.
This
I know,
plug.
Yeah.
Is
what, I don't know why we didn't think of it sooner.
I know. Yeah. Do you guys over on Instagram too? Yeah. I have a constant, never ending battle with what I think I should be posting on Instagram.
Like whether it should be more your personal life or it should be more like your professional life.
Yeah. Well, like not like my professional life. Like, cause we have the Carlin Brothers Instagram, and I have like John Carlin Instagram.
Okay.
Which is like my personal Instagram. And I am constantly like, what do I put on the John Carlin one? Like, is it more like, should I post more just like, this is my regular, like just pretend I don't have a job at all, you know?
Right.
Or to pretend I'm not like an influencer, just post the way anyone else would post. Like, this is what I did this weekend with my family. This is just my personal one.
Yeah.
Or is it more like, continue to make content for that is just like more me centric.
So like if you were to go back to like the thing that makes me think of is like even your handle is John Carlin, which
yeah.
was the name of your original YouTube channel that
right.
you made before we started Super Carlin Brothers. And like back then you would kind of make these like funny sort of skit based videos that oftentimes involved like different alter egos, like Dr. Joseph Nathan. And,
yeah.
you know, like you would be on screen in like multiple different ways, wearing different costumes and that type of thing.
Right.
Or like your first ever video was talking about like a faulty digital thermometer.
Yeah.
Like, so would you just make like comedic everyday humor type things?
Or just like, you know, posting like even like some of the shorts we make for like YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that are just that like or that I'm the one hosting for whatever.
Okay.
You know, like we'll put that on Carlin Brothers and then you can, you know, tag a collaborator mm-hmm. for it. Like you can tag someone or you can invite them to collaborate. And if you invite them to collaborate, what it means is it will appear on both feeds.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So it's like, that's me. This is the thing that, you know, we made and I can put it on my Instagram and it doesn't look that weird because it's just me posting video of me.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
But then is that like incongruous with just like the regular daily life kind of postings that I might otherwise also post?
Yeah.
You know, like are people, should I be trying to develop like a brand, like people come to here to get a certain kind of content or is it just, this is Jonathan's life?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like I think almost what you're kind of like putting your finger on is like the fun, like when you're trying to like make something like content creating a way of life, you go through probably what you will remember as a stressful period of time, which is the spaghetti at the wall portion of it, because you're trying something new all the time. Like you don't know what works consistently yet. So you're just throwing stuff at the wall, hoping something sticks. And then if something does, you found it.
Right.
And in like a lot of ways, I would say like years one and two of Super Carlin Brothers was this, especially for you, like where you would go down and you would come up with like an interesting concept or like, you know, somewhere eventually you would go on to make like the Pixar theory. Like we didn't really make fandom centric content.
Right.
But you did eventually, like, that was, you know, hey, today I need to make a video. This is something that's on my mind. Boom.
Boom.
Pixar theory, you know, changed our lives.
Right.
But, like, I almost wonder if, and on, like, this side of the hill, there's almost that part of you that's like, well, I kind of just want to go back to throwing stuff at the wall phase.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, like, I have never known what the answer to this question is.
Right.
Because like even when we like started it, at one point it felt like straightforward. Like I used to just post on it like a regular like person or whatever.
Sure.
And then we started making content and it was like, and then we, you know, sort of became YouTubers.
Right.
And you were more on Instagram as well at the time.
Sure.
And yeah. So like it kind of felt like, you know, come to the channel, you can see both of us doing stuff. And then we also have like our individual Instagrams where you can get to know us a little bit more. But a lot of what we were posting was like the, you know, December Giveathon stuff and
some behind the scenes type
work. Like behind the scenes type stuff. It was like very much like an extension of the channel at the time.
Right.
But then now we also have the Carlin Brothers Instagram, which is sort of like the central, like keep up with the Carlin Brothers. This is like the official Instagram account that goes with the YouTube channel now.
Right.
Which just sort of left my Instagram handle hanging out to dry, you know? Because like you just got off Instagram altogether.
I was going to say mine is hanging out to
Yours
dry.
Yours is hanging out to dry. Mine's not doing nothing. I still post on it and stuff. But I'm like, what am I supposed to be posting on here now?
Yeah.
You know, like, is it just like, should it just be like, should I be making content for it or posting content that we make on it? Because there's the other thing is that my personal Instagram page has more followers than the Carlin Brothers page, you know? So it's like, if we're promoting something, it behooves me to put it on there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, like, I think you could almost look at it as like life of a content creator type of thing, you know? Like, I mean, you used to do all sorts of stuff, you know, like these socks are amazing, or like, this is my favorite mug because it's the one that's got coffee in it. Like,
yeah,
you were doing things that were very like adjacent to what we were doing otherwise, but still kind of like spoke to your personality.
Right.
I also think you could probably do like if you set up like a weekly, like Sunday, like here's my life in a week photo carousel type mm-hmm. thing where it's like, you know, you've got like your cover photo, which is gonna be like your big marquee photo. You know, like this is like the cool thing.
This is the one.
But also like it was crazy hair day at school today. So like here's pictures of Luke and, you know, Nick with their crazy hair.
Nate.
Yeah. Yeah. My bad.
Jeez, dude.
I had a coin flip.
Yeah, I know. I saw you flip it. I was like, who's he going to say?
I know. I'm sorry. So I got it wrong. But yeah, Nick did not want to participate.
He wore crazy socks. He actually wore my socks.
He's taking after his old man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, they had Toy Story aliens on them.
Nice. Yeah. I got you. But no, I know what you mean. Like there is like a big piece of it, but it's like, what do you want to accomplish?
Exactly.
Like,
what am I trying to accomplish with the Instagram page?
Well, that's the thing is that, like, I think the thing with Instagram is that, like, it's so easy to see people who are thriving on it. And it's so easy to assume that based on what you can see from the people who thrive on it, that this is like a desirable thing to be doing. But that's where I feel like there is that piece of like people who are thriving at it, their relationship with it is really, really, really positive because it's like filling their cup in such an obvious way.
Well, I feel like what happens is the people I see who we know who are like on Instagram and who upload, it's like their Instagram like became their platform. So it's like everything they post on there is just like their content. They're not like also on YouTube. They're like mainly on Instagram or TikTok or whatever.
Sure, sure.
You know, like this is their channel. So of course that's where everything goes.
Right.
And they don't, it's like you wouldn't see them posting personal stuff on there per se, like maybe in their stories, but like on the grid, you know, like that's all content all the time.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I got you.
Whereas we have a place that is for the content. And then we also have mine, which is bigger. So it's like if we post it on there and we invite me to collaborate, more people see, right? Which seems good.
Yeah.
Seems good for both involved. But then it's like, then is it weird if you follow me because you watched that video and then it's like, here's me and my family, you know? I don't know. Or does it matter? Doesn't matter. It feels like it's mixed messaging at the people on the receiving end.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. Like I can see where it's like you, because people talk all the time when it comes to like creating like content, you know, like
right.
The capital C content, and you have what's called a value proposition. It's basically like, I know a lot of things about this thing, or I'm a really good presenter, or I'm a really good editor, or I can do fun, creative, you know, physical acts, mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm good with crafting, like whatever. So everybody has something that they end up being good at. And the idea is that they're going to follow you because that value proposition is so apparent.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, if somebody's like, it's almost like the year two problem after the Pixar theory, where it was like, we were posting videos that was not fandom content and nobody wanted to watch it.
That's exactly what it is. It's year two Super Carlin Brothers, except it's been years two through
present 14
of Jonathan's Instagram. Just having an identity crisis the whole time.
I know. It's so funny. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like for people who like are listening right now. They're being like, you guys are so weird that you don't have a better idea of what you want to do.
I know.
One of you's not on it and the other one has an identity crisis.
You guys are the worst YouTubers ever.
Yeah. <right. laughs> Doing our best. I know. I mean, I similarly have this issue where, like, you know, I don't know if I can call it a 2026 goal, but like there is the part of me that like thinks about like the Outdoor Boys and how much I really enjoyed watching that content and how I could potentially see myself wanting to go and make like outdoorsy content,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it would be like a way to push myself. It might be a way to like bring Addison out into the world with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that type of stuff. But then there's like, my hang up is like, I know how exhausting it can be for me if I have like two nights of bad sleep back to back.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, what do I do if I get to the end of a work week and it's Friday night and I go camp Friday night, Saturday night, come home and like edit a video.
Right.
And it's like, how long can I do that?
How long can you do that?
Yeah. Before I can't.
Right. Right.
As much as I would love to, it's like, whoo, man, that seems like a doozy.
It's a lot.
Doozy and a half.
It's a lot. Yeah. I know. And then where would you promote it? Would you like make a whole new Instagram account? Would you activate your old one? Would we post it on the main channel?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are the problems.
These are the problems.
Maybe for me, my real job is just getting out there and doing like one of them at all first.
Right.
Because you've posted plenty of things to Instagram. You actually have a proof of concept here.
I mean, I've posted plenty of things on there for sure.
What gives you pause? Is there anything like where you post something and you feel like, this was wrong? Or like this didn't work?
Well, I think it's just sort of like, I just don't know, I guess, what I think people want, or what, like, if I should be using it as a way to get to know me personally, or as a way to like make content that like reaches new viewers and brings in, like, tries to like build an audience.
Right.
Is it for the existing audience, or is it to like gain new people?
I follow what you mean. And because I similarly, like, you know, when we created popcorn culture, like, we didn't really expect it to be what it is. It's really funny because, like, someone pointed out once upon a time that Super Carlin Brothers started as a year-long conversation between two brothers and became about fandoms, and popcorn culture was supposed to be about fandoms and became a year-long conversation between two brothers.
Indeed.
And what's interesting to me is that, like, if you were to make a Venn diagram of all the overlapping circles of our show or whatever, it's like Super Carlin Brothers is going to be like the biggest circle, and then the pop lives inside of that circle. And so a lot of times I'm kind of like, anybody who wants to know us personally can come and listen to us on the pop. But then a lot of times, because I've told any story on the pop, I'm like, I probably can't tell it anywhere else, because if I do, the people who listen are just like, yeah, you've told this on the pop before. But chances are there'd be plenty of people who would not have heard that story before,
right?
You know, and it's like, it's a weird, like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, bombard people with the same story in two places. That's embarrassing. You know, but, like, maybe it's not
right. I don't think it is. Yeah,
are we just overthinking it all?
Probably. We're probably just overthinking everything.
Overthinking everything.
As usual.
Is there any specific, like, if you were going to make something that, like, wasn't anything to do with what we do in, like, the day-to-day stuff, like fandoms or family, like, and you were just going to post, like, I'm going to do something. Like, would you ever, to, like, do fitness, or, like, I'm going to try to learn a new thing, or here's a craft I was working on, let me show it to you. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could do that. That could be a thing. Yes.
That could be a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That could be an interesting one.
Yep.
Yeah, like a little offshoot there.
A little offshoot. Yeah. And then, there's always the low stakes nature of, like, stories, you know?
True.
You can also, like, anything you're doing could just be like, hey, this is a story. This is what's part of my life today.
Right.
And then, like, the grid is like the beef.
The big beefy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll keep tinkering on it. Okay. I don't even feel like if I know... Like, I feel like this is, like, what I want to figure out. Here's some goals. Here's some more professional goals. One, establish what I think the, like, if we're working on reels and we're working on, like, short form content, which I think we should do.
Yeah.
Is to come up with, like, genuine strategies for how we use, like, our various, like, the Carlin Brothers Instagram and mine own Instagram.
Okay.
There we go.
So we need to like find some arms here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And figure out what each of the appendages is meant to do.
Right. Yeah. That
we're basically having a meeting about how to social media.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in 2026, just on
at the right here at the tail end of the year.
Right. Right. Just recording.
This is how it happens.
No, I know. I mean, I think 2026, if I were to make a prediction, will involve some kind of new content will emerge from the SCB umbrella.
Okay.
That would be my prediction.
Okay.
I think that there will be a new thing that we haven't done before that will start to become, like, a regular function of, like, our day-to-day everything.
I agree with you with that. I don't know what that is yet, but
right.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Besides gaming.
I would say besides gaming.
Because we have already, that's already sort of like a, that's more like we're bringing it back.
Bringing it back. Right. Right. But I would say, like, more like if we were to start, like, a new segment, like, that is like Super Carlin J, but not in the chair on the Super Carlin set, you know, like, but, like, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Or maybe we've got Outdoor Ben, you know, and it's sort of like, whoa, look at this. Something that has nothing to do with anything at all that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot to consider.
Happy 2025.
Yes, happy 2025, you guys. It has been a crazy year. I can only imagine that 2026 will be just as packed, despite any effort to, I mean, I don't even know if I would want it to be less packed, you know? It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It's like, I think that, like, this is, like, a weird little very brief aside, but, like, when I was first coming out of college and I was working for this, like, guy in the aquarium world, the thing that Dad and I very quickly observed, because we were both doing work with him, is that, like, his life was basically, like, living his marketing plan. So he, like, bought this giant fishing vessel, but, like, every single time he went out, he would bring, like a new potential client or a brand that he was collaborating with, or make an educational video, or, like, whatever. So it was like every weekend he would go fishing, but every time he would go fishing, he would be doing work. And therefore it was all part of, like, his marketing budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in a lot of ways, like, we have slowly started to do that. We're, like, seeing the country by doing our Through the Griffin Tour.
Right.
Where, you know, we got to go to Tokyo with Star Wars celebrations. We got to go see Epic Universe, you know, as part of, like, coverage of an amusement park. It's like,
right,
we're staying exceedingly busy, but the things that we get to do can double as fun.
Right. Yeah.
Which works out well.
It does work out well.
Maybe that's like the whole like live, if you like the job you have, you never work a day in your life or something.
Yeah.
I feel like I butchered that.
I think that's about it.
People get
the gist of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we have hard work days and we have fun work days.
That's right. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for a lovely 2025. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.